Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another sliver of the pie.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's being called a lifeline to those companies that sell life insurance. Today, the Treasury Department is adding several companies that sell insurance to the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP. That's the $700 billion bailout package passed last year to rescue banks and AIG. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
Life insurers have been asking for a government bailout for months. They're not getting nearly as much as the banks, reportedly $22 billion split among six companies, among them Hartford Financial and Prudential. Insurers, like everyone else with so much cash on hand, invested in stocks and bonds that plummeted in value, and some companies insured against market losses. Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics says share prices of those life insurers have been falling, leading some to worry about the consequences of firms failing.
It has enormous implications and a ripple through the economy, consumers, businesses, everybody.
For instance, life insurers own 18% of the nation's corporate bonds, which are a vital source of cash to businesses, large and small. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Some buying, some selling. Yesterday, the Dow was up 0.5% to close at 83.31. NASDAQ and S&P shares gained as well. Today, Asian shares did the same, up about 1% to 2%. Panasonic said today it lost $4 billion last year. European markets started the day higher, but have swung to losses now. The report that the economy in the Eurozone shrank by 2.5% last quarter. Yeah, that did it. It's been a couple of decades of arguments and lawsuits, but today General Electric begins dredging the upper part of New York's Hudson River. In 2002, the Environmental Protection Agency ordered GE to clear the river of toxic chemicals called polychlorinated biphenyls. Those are dangerous PCBs to you and me. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
GE admitted polluting the Hudson for 30 years, but said it was perfectly legal at the time. Now the company is about to spend $780 million cleaning the river up. Manager Joe Green is environmental director for Hudson River Sloop Clearwater.
I really want to commend General Electric. The treatment facility they have built is state-of-the-art. It has very high safety standards.
GE will separate the PCBs from river sediment in enclosed space so no chemicals escape into the air. Green says a change at the top has helped this project get underway.
From Jack Welch, who absolutely felt that GE was not responsible and, in fact, it was not a problem, to Jeffrey Immelt with his eco-imagination.
Green says the full dredging project will take 6 to 10 years, but she says it'll be a few generations before fish from that part of the river are safe to eat. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
By the way, GE has not officially committed to performing the second phase of that cleanup. General Motors says it's telling 1,100 U.S. dealers today that their franchise agreements won't be renewed. Dealers expect to be notified somehow this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
This week, Marketplace has been looking at the next American dream. And today, a history lesson that's changing. For decades, more people have come from Latin America to this country than from any other region. But stricter border enforcement and fewer jobs could derail all that. Princeton sociology professor Douglas Massey joins us now and says there are consequences to these changes. Professor, good morning. What has immigration from Latin America meant to the U.S. economy over the years?
Well, it's been the major source of low-wage labor in the United States. It has played a leading role in sustaining the economic boom of the 1990s. As the boom of the 1990s developed, we hit record levels of low unemployment rates that economists said before couldn't be achieved without causing inflation. And yet by the late 1990s, we had rates of 4% or so. And we would have reached bottlenecks with labor shortages had it not been for immigration and immigrants coming into the country.
But you don't think that if there is a shortage of jobs that people will say, you know, that more Americans and not immigrants will say, okay, well, I'm getting a little desperate here. I don't mind changing the bedpans or going out and picking tomatoes or something like that.
Well, in the short term, that may be true. But in the longer term, I think we'll return to a situation where those jobs will either be filled by immigrants or they will disappear or move overseas. Every developed country has now become a country of immigration, and it's built into the economic structure of post-industrial societies, and it's built into the demography of post-industrial societies.
Let's talk a little bit about the fallout that we're dealing with right now and the fact that the economy is in its worst shape than it has been in 70 years in many cases. You know, how does immigration affect that? Where do we see immigration going and how does it play into sort of reviving the economy of today and from now on?
Well, in the short term, immigration is part and parcel of the dynamics of the economy. And so when the economy goes sour, immigration slows down. And that's exactly what we're observing. And if the economic slump continues, you'll see that trend continue. When the economy revives and jobs are created, you'll see a response in our immigration flows. The key for us is to figure out ways to manage this and handle these flows legally in ways that protect American workers and protect the rights of the immigrants themselves.
Professor Douglas Massey, a professor of sociology at Princeton, specializes in immigration. We thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Check out our Next American Dream section and, of course, share your thoughts with us as well. Our scratch pad there, the online host and blogger Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.